Ready?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, Pat.
We'll just get this out of the way.
Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by the full crew. And after 180 episodes, we're going to get it right this time. We got the full crew, Tracy, Cody, and Bo. And so I'm going to ask once, and they're going to say it all at the same time. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Oh, that was beautiful. Eventually we get there. We got Karen and Matt off mic today, too. Good to have them. And so let's just dive right in. What is the topic today, Cody?
We're calling it Mind the Gap.
Mind the Gap. Anybody who's been to England knows that saying from being painted on the ground. Is it in the subway stations? Yeah?
Pretty much anywhere there's a train. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Mind the Gap. Bo is like, I don't know. But anyway, it's a famous saying now, Mind the Gap. And what we're going to talk about today is really organizational clarity, no matter what kind of organization you have, how big, how low, how small, and whether you're the principal, pastor, CEO, manager, the people that are leading an organization have to make sure there are no gaps, no fissures between them when it comes to being clear about what they're trying to do. And what's interesting about this is that the smaller gaps, the smaller differences in people's opinions might be the most dangerous ones. And what we like to is we talk about something called the vortex effect that said little cracks of daylight between leaders, when you get two or three levels below them, becomes blinding rays of light in the eyes of employees and makes it really hard for them to get things done. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Mind the gap. Make sure that there aren't small fissures between leaders because they can be problems.
I love episodes where, you know, we get to be liberal arts on some of these episodes, and then sometimes we return to some core content around organizational health. And I think this is something that so many leaders, teams, organizations experience, is this what seems like small gaps at the top of the organization that are paralyzing at the bottom of the organization or even the middle. And so the one thing, as you were even laying this out though, I was thinking, let's first, I think when we talk about gaps, we're talking very specifically about discipline two in the advantage and the six questions. But I think that what's honestly really unique about this is, in order to have gaps, you have to have some level of clarity first. You know, like if you have a nebulous company that's like, you don't really even know what the answers to those questions are, you can't measure how far away that train is from the platform, right? So the idea of solidifying the clarity before we start to close those gaps, I'd love for you to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So let's, that's a great point, Cody. Sometimes we just assume everybody's already up to speed on this. So when we talk about clarity, it's really the answers to six critical questions, right? The first one is, why do we exist? What's the purpose of being in business? The next one is, how do we behave? What are our two or three values that define our behavior that makes somebody a fit or not a fit? The next one is, what do we actually do? What business are we in? And that's just defining the what seems really obvious, but as we'll talk about in a second, sometimes it's not. The next one is, how will we succeed? What's our strategy for being unique and ensuring that we'll be successful? The fifth one is, what's most important right now? Are we really completely aligned around the single biggest, as we call it, the rallying cry or the thematic goal? And the last one is, who has to do what? Who does what to get things done? And so those are the six questions. When we work with a client, we go through there and try to get them on the most importantly, completely aligned. We would rather have them be aligned on a slightly wrong answer than wait for perfection. Because the world is full of examples of companies, teams that were aligned and got really great things done and learned along the way. So those are the things we try to tell people, is like, you got to be completely aligned on those six things.
Now, you could have a gap in any one of those six questions. Which one do you think is most common for there to be daylight between people on executive team or leadership team about?
Wow. Cody, Tracy, what do you guys think?
When we are sourcing some examples early on, like, I think I have an example of lack of alignment or clarity or alignment on almost every single one of those. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you know, I don't know which is the most common, but I know that they all exist.
Yeah. I think that I can tell you the one that people almost always are on the same page around, and that is, what do we actually do? What business are we in? Which is why it's really fun to tell this story about once working with a company who wasn't even aligned around that. We were like, so what are you anyway? Are you a product company? And they were like, yeah, we're a product company. And we have services that complement our products. And three of the people on the team were, no, we're a services organization that happens to sell products that go with our services. And we were like, this is kind of huge, because I don't know how the people in customer service or in product development are managing this, but if two or three levels below, they're operating based on completely different ideas from people at the top, this has got to be a mess.
Well, I love that example, Pat, because it's something we've experienced and so many people do, specifically as it relates to what we do, because you can have a clear answer for that question, and then you add some services to your products, and then those services beget more services, and then you need to get... Clarity is not a one-time event. I mean, certainly you should answer all of these questions, but as we check in, as you know, when we're having our weekly leadership team meeting, we're still going through and saying, like, that's still true, right? This is still what we do. Are we adding anything to that? Do we need to take anything away from that? So specifically as it relates to that question, keeping a pulse on what your organization is doing is really important.
Yeah, I'm actually involved in working with an organization right now that I just learned today that there's some fundamental differences in what we think we do. It actually shed light on a whole bunch of things that were unbeknownst to me. And it's like, oh, wow, we have to figure that out. Because until we figure that out, there's no way that people in the organization can be operating aligned and in a healthy way.
And I think that's what's so important about this conversation, is it is not about the perfect, comprehensive strategic plan that a leadership team crafts in isolation. It's about creating clarity for everybody within the organization. There's a professor who used to teach classes about preaching, and he would say, if it's a mist in the pulpit, it's a fog in the pew. The things that feel like they're a little unclear to us become really, really unclear to the folks who are working in for the mission that we're all working for. And I think, you know, you maybe could even invert this question to say, if instead of saying, where do we feel like we don't have alignment, you could say, where are people seem to be the most frustrated, or where do they seem the most blinded or confused? And then that will lead to maybe where there's some gaps at the organization at the top.
And start at the first question, you know what I mean? Because certainly if you're not clear on the first two or three, like why do we exist, how do we behave, and what business are we in, the chances of being clear on what needs to be done this month, what's the most important priority, are pretty low, or pretty much non-existent. So start at the top and just say, hey, are we completely clear on why this business exists? And if one person says, oh yeah, it's to change this local economy, and somebody else says, no, it's to make money, and somebody else says, no, it's to invent a new idea, hey, all bets are off. We got to go back and ask ourselves, we have to be aligned. And again, better to disagree and then commit to that than it is to go forward without that level of clarity.
If you're a leader, you're a leadership team member, and you're thinking like, I think we're pretty clear. We don't have absolute levels of clarity. There might be some gaps. When we're in a room, one of the things I love that we do, I want to make this super practical, is we won't go around the room if there's 10 people sitting around a table and start with the leader and ask them, and then ask everybody to verbally process out loud, because they're all going to take cues from whatever the leader says first. So a very practical thing to do is sit in that room and say, hey, everybody take 30 seconds and write down what you think the answer is to why we exist. And we're going to read them out loud. And that's when it starts to get more obvious whether there's gaps, even small gaps or large ones, because those answers can be in a tight circle or pretty spread out.
Yeah, and your job as a leader, or if you're a consultant too, is to find the gaps, to find the cracks in the foundation. And on first glance, you might go, I think they're pretty aligned. You know, and then people pour water in something and they go, oh, look at, there it is. We want to find those cracks, because if we don't, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. So don't make it easy to hide them, where say, hey, I think this is the answer. Are we all in agreement? And half the room just nods their head and goes, yeah, I don't, you know. Test it. Really test to see, are people really completely aligned? And the first one is around why we exist.
Mm-hmm. It's also interesting, Pat. The other piece of that is it's not some exercise you did 2 years ago. And when people go, oh yeah, no, we have the answer to that. It's in a folder in my drawer. Let me go get it. this is a living thing. Like if people actively on your leadership team can't at the drop of a hat say, hey, here's why we exist. Here's how we behave. Here's what we do. That's problematic. It's not an activity that you did at one offsite that you have to brush the dust off of. It has to be a living thing in the organization.
Right. You know, one way to know that there are cracks, even if you don't see them, you might look at it and go, hey, I see no cracks here at all, no gaps at all. But then if there are silos and confusion and infighting going on deeper in the organization, that's like, no, 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 there must be, maybe they're below the surface. Maybe somebody stuccoed over the outside to make it to hide that. But deep underneath, there are some cracks.
Yeah. Unwillingness as a leadership team to talk about the sort of ideological, practical things lead to relational conflict down below. It's not that two different departments are fighting about ideas. They're fighting about each other. You're creating relational discord as a leadership team when you're not minding the gap, when you're not bridging the gap with clarity.
Right. You know, maybe it's worthwhile to say, because we when we were getting ready to do the podcast, we were like, so why does this happen? Why would a group of leaders allow, gosh, and I'm guilty of this in an organization I'm working with right now. Why does this happen? I think one is we make assumptions. Like, no, everybody's on the same page. I mean, gosh, it's so clear. So we just assume that everything's fine. And that's very common. And, you know, assume makes an ass out of you and me. That's the silliest thing. But since we've all heard it, I thought I'd say it. And so we assume, and so we don't even look, right? That's one. And that's an understandable thing. Another one is I think that we minimize the impact of it. We're kind of lazy. We're like, yeah, there's probably a little bit of gap in there, but it's probably not that big a deal. I don't have time for that right now. And of course, that's just what leads to other ones. Mm-hmm. But I think the one that's the most, not unforgivable, but the most dangerous is when we're just afraid to bring up the topic and have it out. I think when I have executive teams that go, I really don't want to argue with them about that. You know, screw it. I'll just do it my way. They'll do it theirs. And we'll let people fight it out when it gets down the road. Mm. And that is the most dangerous one, because you kind of know that this is the problem, but you just don't want to pay the price for it by having to really wrestle with somebody. And as a result, you make a lot of other people wrestle in much more painful ways.
Mm. Yeah, I think those three are spot on in terms of why people don't do this. The middle one, they minimize the impact. I think there's so many well-intentioned leaders that are like, well, we're in the ballpark. We're right. Sort of, you know, like the idea that like, well, we're never, or the idea that we're as a team never going to be fully aligned. They sort of accept that as a corporate reality sometimes, or something like, well, we have our differing opinions, but generally speaking, we're aligned around these things. And that is the dangerous way to approach it, right? That little, you know, one that we've now thought of four different ways to say this, but I remember one leader saying, you know, when the ice melts at the top of the mountain, it's purest at the top and gets muddier on the way down. If there's any level of gap there, it is just extrapolated every layer below the executive team where you don't have clarity.
Yeah. Go ahead. What, you had a point, Bo?
Oh, I was just going to bring up a previous episode we did about pruning, where we encouraged organizations to go through and do some pruning. And I think that clarity often leads to pruning. And I think leaders can foresee that. And they know if we clarify that we are about this and not this, if we clarify that our audience is actually A and not B, what that will lead to is necessary pruning. And I think leaders kind of look around the corner and know that's going to be uncomfortable. I don't want to have that conversation. So we'll keep the clarity sort of nebulous so everybody can kind of have a seat and people can keep their pet projects, and we won't have to have the uncomfortable conversation around pruning.
That's interesting. One of the other signs, because we talked about silos and infighting and all that kind of stuff, I think when things are overgrown and you've got way too much going on, that's probably a sign too that there's gaps. Mm-hmm. And that you're not confronting that. So it's like, why are we over subscribed here? Why do we have too many things going on? And why are there so many projects that nobody seems to know why we're doing them? That's probably a sign that there's gaps in what people think are important, because pruning happens when you're clear.
I think it's also worth talking about the team number one concept, because I think that's the other reason why there is not alignment.
Tell us about team number one, Tracy.
basically team number one, the executives, that is their first team. And they should have common goals, objectives. That is their number one team. But oftentimes what happens is, you know, the marketing person shows up with their marketing hat on and doesn't think that you know, the relevance of team number one, he or she is just thinking about their marketing team. So it's worth a conversation.
Yeah, everybody has to say, my first priority is this team that I'm a member of that runs the whole organization, not the next team down. But often people are like, no, I'm going to pick that department. And that's where silos come in. And that's mm-hmm. where gaps are guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, Pat. I think there was an episode a little while ago where we talked about what is assumed is often what's most important. And when you talk about the assumed thing, it would be so easy for us as consultants to go into the room with these executive teams and say, hey, I bet they already have this as clear as possible. You know, like it might even make us look sort of rudimentary to say, hey, we want to know why your company exists or how you behave or what's your strategy. And so when we don't engage in what is assumed, I mean, we were talking about some real life examples. Like it is remarkable how many times you're in a room where we're going through those clarity questions. And I was thinking of an example the other day. We get to question four, how will we succeed? And we've got a 12-member executive team around here, and it's a global franchise organization. And they start to have a real serious argument about, no, we need to invest in the franchisee. That's the way. Or another person across the table saying, no, it's the client that the franchisee serves. And there is real strategic and decision-making implications on what the answer that you decide is the right one out of those. Are we in service to the franchisee or the clients they serve? And it's just amazing how often we go in, and whether it's question one, two, three, four, five, or six, there is a small or large gap that needs addressing.
You know, I think you've just helped me answer Bo's earlier question. I think the most problematic common differences are at that level of strategy. How will we succeed? And because those are the ones that, if you're not on the same page on that, it's really difficult to decide what your priorities are. And I think companies can sometimes get like, well, let's decide on our priorities. But when we get into that wrestling with what are our strategic anchors and what's the filter we should use to make decisions, I think that's probably the most dangerous place where it exists.
It's easy to think about that in a large organization, but it's just as impactful in a small one. I remember sitting with a real estate group, and it was like three people, and there were two co-owners. And after an hour of sitting with them, realized that they had a difference about their answer to question four. One of them thought they were going to be successful by being the most efficient. And the other thought they were going to be the successful by having the best relationship with their customers. Well, the person who was suffering was the secretary, the person who was trying to do all the processing and the paperwork and all of that, because she was being pulled back and forth between these two co-owners who did not agree about the way that they were going to win. The same thing could happen on a family trip. If dad's wanting to go to the beach to rest and mom's wanting to go to the beach to have an adventure, the person who's going to suffer the most is the kid who's stuck back and forth between mom and dad who didn't align about how this was going to be a successful trip. So all that to say, it can be really, really detrimental even in a small organization.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Bo, just a comment. The 50s is calling, and they wanted to let you know that we don't call them secretaries anymore. That was from the 50s. But, you know, we've been watching a lot of episodes of I Love Lucy or something.
If that's the case, then I have to return my gift that I got Bo for National Secretary's Day. But for behind the scenes, Bo did that to me in real life, and now I've done it on the podcast. So now only like 50,000 people have heard that. So
Cody's approach here is a tonnage issue. I got him so good live one time in front of three people, and so his goal is to get back at me in front of as many people as he can.
He did it very well, I might add. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so Tracy, I loved your team number one concept. I will say this, in the room, so if people are not coming to the leadership team level and putting their organizational hat on, not their marketing mm-hmm. hat, not the sales hat. Oftentimes, one of the ways that we see gaps appear when we're working with an executive team is when we get to question number five and we say, what's most important right now? And you go around the room and have everybody write down what's most important. If they're wearing the right hat, like, hey, this is about the success of the organization, not my department, you get a lot of similar answers. But if people are there wearing their department hat, you get the CTO saying, we need to invest in our technology. You get the head of sales saying, we just need to resource our sales team. That's where you can start to identify that there is some blinding gaps where when we can't agree at the leadership team level, what is the most important thing for the organization in the next 6 to 9 months?
Hey, you know what's a really important thing to say here, Cody? Because I totally agree with that. But there's so many things. When we're doing these podcasts, we're taking notes. We're listening to each other. We're trying to think about, oh, yeah, that reminds me of something else. So sometimes it feels like we're not commenting on the last point. It's because 2 points before that, something just landed. But I just thought about how oftentimes these gaps don't just happen in the six critical questions, but they happen even in the course of having a meeting. So like you have a meeting. We talk about at the end of a meeting, you need to take the time to have the discipline of like clarifying what you've just decided. And I can't tell you how many times I've been with executive teams. I've sat there and watched them have a meeting. And then at the end of the meeting, they go do their CRO job, this chief reminding officer and chief communication officer. And they tell different things to different people based on what they heard in the meeting. So what we say to people at the end of your meetings to avoid cracks or gaps, everybody write down what you think that you just decided at the meeting. And then go around the table and just see if you're even on the same page there. So often people will go, well, one time I worked with a team in Ireland and they decided, I was at the meeting and they were like, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure I was at the meeting where they decided nobody can fly first class anymore because we're an international company. We're flying all the time. Everybody's flying first class. We got to cut expenses. Everybody was in the meeting. They signed off on that. Then the first business trip they went on, some guy in marketing was in first class. The other people went to the back of the place and they said, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, that didn't apply to me, did it? And they're like, what made you not think that? Because nobody said, does that include us, you know, in our department? And this happened once in another company where I was there, where they decided to go on a hiring freeze. And I remember it was a really big conversation at the executive team meeting. And everybody said, okay, a hiring freeze starting tomorrow. And then after the meeting, people found out that sales was like hiring people. And they were like, wait, what are you doing? We just talked about that. And they go, well, that can't apply to sales, can it? And it's so amazing that if we don't take the time at the end to go, are we crystal clear on this? Because we can go out even if we have the six critical questions answered. And if we at the end of our meetings don't ensure that we're on the same page, that can be so confusing and disrupting to people. All righty? Okay.
Love it.
Mind the gaps. Be paranoid about the fact that they might be there. Ask people in the organization, are they hearing the same things? We want to talk about two things right now. We have an unpaid ad, but before we do that, we did a podcast a couple weeks ago called The Activism Reset. We got some great feedback from listeners, and we love our listeners. You know, one of the things I love is that people will write in and they'll say, oh, I love the podcast and I love this and I love that, but I disagreed with this thing here, or I love this part here, explain this more. And so we try to get back to people. And we had some wonderful feedback. Most of the people were like, we like that. That's good. We need to hear that. We did have two people that wrote in and said, we don't quite understand what you mean and we don't agree. And I love those because they were like, we know we have to lean into this and conflict is important, so we're going to do it with you. So we love the fact that our listeners practice what we try to teach and preach and live, even with us. So that is really cool. We love that. But we got this one that I really want to go over from Randy. And I want to read this because it's very serious. He says, I listened to your podcast as I completed my morning run today. The topic was interesting, and I agree that most businesses should avoid divisive social issues. Great job. But he says, but now for my complaint. After I listened to the unpaid ad, I had a concern, Pat. You mentioned that there would not be any unpaid ads for celery. Now, I love celery, and this seemed like an excessively activistic rant. Do all of your employees agree with this stance, or will it cause unresolved issues and division within the culture of your organization? Have a great day, and keep up the great work. So, I want to just say, Randy, we are divided on this issue. And I am going to walk it back right now and say, some people here love celery. Some people here hate celery. We will no longer take a public view on celery. We are about organizational health, and that's what we want to do. And we thank you for pointing that out to us, Randy. And it's so great because he put sarcasm at the end of it. Just in case we thought he was really pissed at us. But thank you, listeners, for the humor you send us, for challenging us and letting us wrestle with you on things. We really appreciate it. That's what this is all about. And that's what organizational health is.
Well, and you know, we also sent a memo and we fired any of the employees that did like celery. Today is Bo's last day. So our listeners could write in and give Bo a goodbye email. That would all be fine too.
Yeah, you can email me at cody@tablegroup.com.
Now, it's time for, we didn't do it last time. WD-40 was our unpaid ad, wasn't it?
Yes.
What's our unpaid ad today? Well, this is up to me and Karen and Tracy. And our unpaid ad is for a person. And his name is Dave Ramsey. Okay. We were talking about Dave Ramsey today. And we're like my 20-year-old son brings me the phone, his phone. He doesn't let me hold it because, you know, that's how they are when they're young. But he shows it to me. He says, look at this, Dad. And he plays a clip of Dave Ramsey giving financial advice to a 27-year-old guy. And Dave's saying to him, you know, you gotta get rid of that car. You gotta, boy, you really dug a hole for yourself right here. This was really dumb. And we were like, what is it about Dave Ramsey that we love so much? And we decided it's not just what he does, which is give people advice about finances, but it's how he does it. Because he doesn't coddle people, but he respects them. And he tells them the hard truth, but he does it from a place of humility where he says, hey, when I was 28, I was completely broke. I mean, I made a lot of dumb decisions. So you can recover from this. You can. But if you don't do this and you don't do this, well, you're going to be screwed, buddy. And why is it we're attracted to that? People who will tell one another the truth in love without watering it down. And Dave Ramsey does that so well. He's been doing it for years. He changes people's lives. That's our unpaid ad. Do you guys have a comment on that?
I love it. Dave has changed our finances, listening to him for years. I think our next episode will be sponsored by Pat's impression of Dave Ramsey.
I have no idea what that sounds like, but
I remember picking up the Total Money Makeover, which is Dave's book, in college. And as I handed it to the cashier at the Barnes & Noble, she said, this book changed my life. And I'll just say this. I've bought all of your books, Pat, and nobody said that when I bought them. No. I'm teasing. That's a great ad. I love that.
Yeah, he has a great book called Entree Leadership, too, which is about entrepreneurial leadership, which I think is fantastic. So that's our unpaid ad today for Dave Ramsey. All right, that's it for the podcast today. We want to thank everybody for listening, Matt, Karen, all the crew, and we'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.